Blog Talk Radio.
Talk with Evelyn Bowden. We have a very informative and enlightening broadcast for you. The opening theme for our broadcast is called I Don't Know by the band called Grapes. Well, I don't know. It's just a temporary phrase here at Let's Talk with Evelyn Bowden. So sit back and listen, take a few notes, and become informed, enlightened, and empowered. Hello, and thank you for joining me. As is often the case, the inspiration to talk about the subject matter of this program came from a personal experience, my own personal experience, an event that happened to me that was eye-opening, a learning experience from which I learned an important, if not life-changing, lesson. The subject matter is working with health care providers, trust but verify. The importance of being an active participant together with your physician and other healthcare providers in managing your health. The goal being to live longer and live healthier. Now, for me, at this stage of my life, it's the quality of life that I am aiming for. And what sparked my attention was the numbers. For me, the numbers didn't add up. And everything is about numbers. And needed new primary care physician and specialist. The first flag that came up was that all the new people, all the physicians and their technicians included, were surprised that I was only on one medication, one prescribed medication, and I took a multivitamin therapy. I'm surprised at that. The second flag was the way certain questions were phrased as they spoke with me about historical information. But specifically, how much do you smoke? When did you stop? How much do you drink and how often? How many drinks do you have per week? What part of no or never don't you understand? Flag number three, the insistence on providing or prescribing medications for conditions I don't have. I asked why and what were my numbers. The answer was, well, your numbers are within normal range, but I'm looking down the road to the 80-year-old Evelyn doing as well as you are now. I'm thinking, what are you talking about? You're looking down the road 20 years. You're going to give me some medication that I don't need, treating a condition that I don't have, meds that are known to have negative effects on two major organs, and I'm to take them for 20 years as a preventive measure for something that may or might not happen. I'm thinking, I've made it 60 years and don't have a problem in this area, but you want to treat me? Something develops 20 years from now? Flag number four. Each visit was the attempt to give me an additional prescription. And by now, that would have been six, up from one. Sick, and nothing has changed in between. My physical condition, I'm fine. There are no major complaints. So I'm going to go in the span of a year from one medication to now six to treat conditions that don't exist. The most immediate response was to pull my blood work from the year before, and this blood work was actually done by a pulled that button, and I stepped at it. At the same time, I bought me a journal. 5 weeks of self-monitoring. Basically, journal every day. My blood pressure, my temperature, my glucose level. I tested urine for pH. I intake of liquids and food, and my output as far as the frequency and volume of recorded bowel movements and appearance exercises, the whole gamut. I did it all, and I gave the results of those 5 weeks of testing, of self-monitoring to my doctor, and he viewed it and said to me, everything looks good. And then the next breath said, I want to increase one of your medications. I asked for a copy of my blood work and wanted to know how. Because I wanted all the blood work or just one. I just give me the last one. To me, there were assumptions made about a woman of my age and my race. Some openly said and some implied. And there were some judgments. Logic issues, which meant I had to make choices. Now, my choices, go ahead and take this stuff that was being offered, knowing that at this point I don't need it. So the choice I made was to become as informed as I could about my vitals, about my habits, and about my blood work. Read and researched to find out just what all those numbers meant. And then there is also the option of getting second opinions. And of course, there's always the option of changing the primary care physician. Now, while all of this was going on, and as I researched to have a conversation about how important it is to take part, to be active and actively involved, to ask questions of your physician, even if they're surprised. I remember the first time that I asked what my numbers were, the physician turned around so quickly, it was as if I had slapped them in the face, and I did not get my numbers. I did not that day. But go ahead and ask questions. This is your body. Ask questions, know yourself, learn more about yourself and what's going on with you, and actively participate. Do not be so passive as to just continue to take whatever and however much medications that the doctors prescribe, particularly if something doesn't feel quite right. Another issue that I had that came up was one of the that was prescribed for me was actually making me sick. And when I brought that to the primary care physician's attention, the response was, oh no, that could not be happening. And I am looking at them and, what? I'm telling you how my body is reacting, and you're going to stand there and tell me no, that it cannot be happening. We're going to have some issues. We're going to have some issues, and I'm going to have to change providers. But anyway, long story short, take an active part in your health care. Know what's going on with your body. Only you know truly how it feels, how it reacts to things, how it reacts to food, how it reacts to medication, how it reacts to different changes in climate, surroundings, things you're allergic to, things you're not. Horror stories about telling a physician that you're allergic to something, and that physician says to you, no, you cannot be allergic to that, and proceeds to give you, especially when you're not aware, give you the very same thing that you just informed them that you're allergic to. I know firsthand of a situation that happened, and the person nearly died. They were in a coma for almost 3 days because of the allergic reaction to a medication that they informed the doctor about, and the doctor administered it anyway through an IV without the patient's knowledge. That brings again some ethics issues. Oh, that's a whole other thing. Part of the Hippocratic Oath is first do no harm. First do no harm. And as we have seen in recent months, that there are some sinister people out there who will do horrific things for insurance payments, especially for Medicare and Medicaid patients. There have been this one doctor that treated people, as many as much as 500 or more, for cancers that they did not have, and put them through the horrors of those treatments. And some of the people are left in situations where their quality of life leaves a lot to be desired. And also, there have been some deaths because of it. He treated them, he diagnosed them with cancers that he knew they did not have, and then went ahead and gave them treatment. And in some cases, gave them more than the recommended amount of chemotherapy and radiation. And needless to say, wrecked hundreds and hundreds of lives. But that's another issue. But what I'm talking about, you know, everything being equal and everything being good, just being aware of what's going on with you. So perhaps your physician may be acting on what they think should be occurring. And one thing that came out of the research was that a lot of physicians come to you with biases that a lot of times they are not even aware of, especially when it comes to women and people of color. African Americans and Hispanics tend to be treated less than favorable or less than equal when it comes to the medical treatment, or how much, especially in the area of pain or little medical care they get, you know, based on the simple color of their skin or origin. And a lot of the doctors are not consciously aware that they are doing that, and it is now part of the regular coursework for doctors and those that are going or training to be doctors to be aware of unconscious biases they may have about people based on their age, their sex, their race. And this is one area that a lot has been done to try to make doctors slow down and become aware of their capabilities in response to the person on the other side of the door. So how does one actively participate in in managing their health care? You begin by opening dialogue with your provider. You talk with your doctor. You ask questions, especially when it's something that you truly don't understand. You know your numbers, especially the big four, blood pressure and heart rate, your numbers, cholesterol numbers, glucose and BMI, those are numbers. And I call them the big four because those are usually the first indicators that something is going awry with you. There are others when I speak about getting the results of your blood work and understanding what those numbers mean, that's getting a little deeper into how things are functioning, how your body is functioning. But if you begin with those four and learn how to control those to keep them within the target range for your age group, for your size, so you learn and discuss with your physician possible lifestyle changes that would be beneficial to you. Now, this is important if you are at the point where, you know, things are still okay, but you might be inching toward the borderline situation, same people with your blood pressure. You're still within the target range, but on the high end. So you might want to ask them, you know, what can I do lifestyle-wise, whether it's what can you eat or can you increase your exercise or something. What can you do by changing some habit that you have that could affect that and bring those numbers back down to within the range and not be at that borderline level before prescription drugs are necessary? The problem with prescription drugs is that they do come with side effects, and that's because they are foreign to your body. They are alien to your body, and your body will try at first to fight them off. And then there are those drugs that will actually build up in certain organs and actually cause problems with them. And that's why sometimes you have people who are taking so many different medications, they are taking additional medications to counter the adverse effects of another medication. So if you can prevent something, prevent the change in your numbers to the point that you have to go on medication, that is always better. Learn about the medicines that you are taking. Talk it over with your physician. And better yet, talk to the pharmacist about them. I have found in practice that oftentimes the physicians really don't know about, in details, about the medicines that they are prescribing you. They are following some kind of chart or some protocol, some guideline, and usually a one-size-fits-all, and they don't know the full information about the drug. So talk with your pharmacist, your physician, and also read some of the research about it. You can actually find the results of clinical trials, human trials, and find out how they actually affected those that were involved in those trials. And by all means, if you have adverse reactions to them, discuss those with your physician. And if you have negative reactions like that, you can also report that to the Food and Drug Administration. Look at the list, the bad drug list, the banned drug list, drugs that are banned in other countries but are still allowed here, and then there's a good drug list. Look at these lists and find out why, if it's happened that they are being rejected or pulled from the market or banned. Find out why that is the case, and then ask your physician that if these drugs have been banned or there is a precaution with the use, do the benefit of you taking them outweigh the risk? There are some websites that are invaluable. The American Heart Association has very easy to read blood pressure and heart rate charts. They also have clear cholesterol guidelines that you can access. The American Diabetes Association, also a very good website, 247diabetes.org. And there you can find some tools that will help you monitor and keep track of all of your numbers and show you how well or not that you're doing. Is that is very, I highly recommend the 247.diabetes.org. And I spoke earlier about getting a copy of your lab reports and discussing those with your physician, especially if you see something that's out of whack. Now, the results will indicate what your numbers are, and then usually under that will show you what the target range for a particular element is, and see how you measure up to what the recommended guidelines are. And these are guidelines for the doctors to know how well or not that you're doing. And also, it points to certain or potential problems. And they can, just by watching and monitoring how these changes occur, that's why they always get blood work before, so that they can use that to compare to see how changing over a period of time, and if there are changes or if there are some warning signs contained therein. Read. Now, I learned a lesson as I was doing this program, and actually I already knew it, but I just didn't do it. And the lesson I learned was to follow my instincts and to do what is best, to question, to research, and analyze always. I have something going on that I'm not sure about it. Question, research, analyze, and discuss. Then make the decision of whether or not to do a thing. But as I was doing the research for the program, I was reading an article in the Journal of Family Practice. Now, that's the beauty of having access to articles and journals. Most of them you can access online, but you can definitely go to your libraries and get them. But the Journal Family Practice, I was reading, and there was an article in there about a particular medicine that I had been prescribed. And the thing that got me was that this drug was associated with higher risk of heart failure and drug-induced angioedema, and also a cough, a persistent cough that never goes away. The other thing was, this drug was not recommended for African Americans over 55. I was 60 when this was prescribed to me, and I did have adverse reactions to it, and actually was taken off the drug because of how horrible it made me feel. Now, when I brought it to the doctor's attention, of course, the response was, that medicine doesn't work like that. It couldn't be doing that. So when I saw this article in the studies and the recommendations for the physicians that use this drug, that caution should be taken with African-American people using it, and it was definitely not even recommended for as the first protocol, and if it was prescribed, definitely close monitoring had to be done on those over age 55. Well, that concludes our broadcast. We invite your comments and questions, and also invite you to share your story to be considered for airing on a future broadcast on any subject of your choosing. Our broadcasts are designed for self-help and bring positive information to enlighten, empower, and encourage listeners to live their best lives. And remember, I don't know, it's just a temporary phrase when you listen to Let's Talk with Evelyn Cummings.